Listeners will remember the story last week featured in the Irish Times about homophobic discrimination in the booking accommodation through Airbnb. Basically, two people who said they were gay, just for the point of the survey, found they were refused 25% more often than when booking as a heterosexual couple. So just how common is this kind of discrimination in Ireland? Our reporter Kieran Cuddihy has been finding out. Kieran, were people surprised this type of thing was happening?
They weren't really surprised. There's a consensus that discrimination like this still exists, and there's the whole gamut of it, really, from maybe just a little remark or a look all the way up to an outright denial of services, something fairly explicit like we saw last week. There was a sense from those I spoke to that maybe after the marriage equality referendum, I suppose we were so consumed in self-congratulations and backslapping that we
job done,
we blinded ourselves maybe a little bit to the reality for a lot of people in the LGBTQ community. Like, we've moved away from institutional and legal discrimination to a large extent, but there's still a softer or a hidden discrimination out there that's faced daily by people. And one of the most interesting people I spoke to on all of this was Niall Callan. He's a teacher out in Tala. He's also deputy president of the LGBT group in the INTO. And he made the point that, like, while huge progress has been made, and say, for example, not long after the marriage equality referendum, there was a policy change within the Department of Education and in schools that gay teachers now no longer fear for their job like they once did, the feeling of inclusivity still evades them.
But I suppose for me as a teacher, where I feel it the most, and it's subtle, but it's actually very upsetting, it's kind of this notion that there's something inappropriate about LGBT people, that it's not something that could be mentioned in front of the children, for example. You know, that we can talk about mammies and daddies until the cows come home, but when we talk about mammies and mammies or daddies and daddies, we're somehow moving into a slightly more adult, maybe a little bit seedy world, and it's not appropriate in front of children. And that, you know, that has actually a direct effect on teaching and on the culture of schools, because, you know, if you're like, so when I was in college, for example, we were being trained in social, personal, health education part of the curriculum, and we were told in no uncertain terms, never mention anything to do with LGBT people in your classroom. The rule was no condoms, no abortion, no homosexuality.
Fairly clear manifestation of discrimination there. What are the others, Kieran?
Well, Belong To, who are the youth advocacy group, they did some research recently with Gay Community News, and their findings were interesting. Despite all the advances that we've made in recent years, and we've mentioned some, the number one issue in this survey from young people was a lack of acceptance and a lack of understanding. That still stands out as the single biggest issue they face. Bullying as well, another massive problem that they face, as Meninia Griffith, who's the executive director with Belong To, explained to me.
For a young young LGBT person who comes into us here to one of our groups or for support or service, the kind of things that they could be coming up against is fear of rejection. We still get young people who are kicked out of home for being gay, unfortunately, still in this day and age in Ireland. They can be isolated from in school or in their communities because they're LGBT, or they can still experience bullying in school or their communities or at home because of who they are or who they love.
Okay, how do you, I suppose the obvious question, Kieran, how do you go about improving things?
I suppose, you know, the saying slowly moves the ship of state, but you can move it by legislation. That's how you can change things there. It's a more difficult question to ask, how do you change culture, something ingrained like that? There's an argument that it happens with generational shifts, that it will happen automatically over time. But to speed that along, like Meninia, for example, would argue there needs to be action plans, campaigns. We even need hate crime legislation, she would argue, in the state. But Damien McLean, who's the Welfare and Equality Officer in Trinity Students Union, spoke to me about this as well. And he says, actually, look, you can start on a personal level, and there's things you can do every day just to combat discrimination and encourage inclusivity.
Like, I've been involved in Trinity for several years, and I have to kind of check myself, and I think a kind of self-check is thinking, am I doing this completely right? And at the same time, I may be overreacting or I may be underreacting, but I think it's being like the way I acted towards a person minority. Let's say if I was working with somebody who had a disability, I'm like, was I condescending there? And at the end of the day, you may be like, no, actually, I wasn't. And you can continue on. But it's kind of taking that 5 seconds to think, did I act appropriately there? you know, or did I treat them differently because of that? And it, you know what, you may have, and it's okay to be like, actually, I did treat them differently, because you're kind of teaching yourself, okay, maybe I won't do that the next time.
Okay, Kieran Cuddihy, thanks indeed for that.